CQ, 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 the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Your net control tonight is W4DJW. My name is Dave, and my location is Greer. In the interest and promotion of amateur radio, this net is called nightly at 9 p.m. In the event of an emergency, this net will be activated. This repeater is located atop Caesars Head Mountain, about 2 miles south of the North Carolina-South Carolina border, near Highway 276. The repeater is at an elevation of 3,500 feet and is owned and operated by the Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Society. All amateurs licensed to operate on the frequency are invited to check in. Is there any formal traffic bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call W4DJW. Okay, nothing heard. Well, I'll begin the roll call. This is a directed net. All stations with or without traffic are invited to check in. As you check in, give your name, call, location, and signal your intent to remain on the net for the RAGCHU portion. And tonight being Friday night, we'll begin with Uniform through Zulu. But before we do that, we will recognize the pre-net check-in list, EchoLink stations, and brand new amateur radio operators. So starting off with the pre-net, we have K4XMR, that's Mel over in Prosperity. W2AMD, that's Andrew in Simpsonville. W4FCM, that's Fred, bring with him. N4IEI, that's Miss Isla, they're in Traveler's Rest. KG4PFI, Don, and KG4QLQ, that's Miss Linda, they're in Piedmont. KO4ZEW, that's Ben in Simpsonville. KI4LJG, that's Bob in River Falls. KI4LZI, that's Andy in Table Rock. KN4RJN, that's John in Brown Summit, North Carolina. KD4HUY, that's Jim in Piedmont. KQ4JSK, that's Kim in Asheville. N4ASW, that's Tony in Asheville. KO4RMM, that's Kurt in Greenville. K4OIM, that's Walt in Edmond. W4IOE, that's Sid and Fletcher, and via EchoLink, KO4WTQ, that's Greg in Brunswick, Georgia. Appreciate all the pre-net check-ins, as well as the EchoLink station that was a write-in. Appreciate you being there with us tonight, Greg. Do we have any brand new amateur radio operators that have never checked into a net before and are not quite sure about how to check into a net and would like to check in? Just throw your call sign out there, and I will do the rest. Okay, looks like we don't have any new hams this evening, so we'll move right along into the RF section of the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, which begins with Uniform through Zulu. Stations with the first letter in their suffix that begins with a U through a Z and would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call W4DJW.
One's doubling with you, K4XB.
Sorry about that. Sorry about that doubling. Person I was doubling with, go ahead. Okay, Uniform, station with the first letter in their suffix that begins with U through a Z, and would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
JW. Please check in Kilo
4
X-ray Bravo, K4XB. My name is Tommy. I'm located in southern Greenville County. I'll be negative and negative. Good evening to Unit 1 on net. W. Kilo Alpha 3, Whiskey, Papa, Papa, KA3WPP, Howard in Piedmont, be negative and negative.
Okay, there is a station that's just bringing up the repeater. I heard check in Kilo, and then you did, and then the repeater ID started because you dropped the signal. So move around. Look at your signal if you're on a handheld and try to find the highest signal you can while I'm talking, and then hold it right in that position and try again after I recognize these stations. Net Control, I'd like to recognize K4XB, that's Tommy in southern Greenville County. Good to have you with us tonight, Tommy. Hope you're doing well. And KA3WPP, that's Howard in Piedmont. Appreciate you being with us tonight, Howard. And we do have one more EchoLink station that just checked in, so EchoLink stations only for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, called W4DJW.
Good evening, WD. Oh boy, missed it already. This is Alpha Alpha 4 Gulf Hotel on EchoLink from Southwest Florida. Thanks for calling me in.
Okay, Net Control, I'd like to recognize Alpha Alpha 4 Gulf Hotel. That is Gus from Southwest Florida. Good to have you with us tonight, Gus. Hope you're doing well. Do appreciate you taking the time to check in with us this evening. Any other stations in the Uniform through Zulu group who would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
Kilo Charlie 9, Bravo Echo X-ray. I'll be negative and negative, and thank you for calling the net tonight.
JW. Kilo November 4, Victor Whiskey Alpha, Stephen Emmons. I'll be negative and negative.
Okay, Net Control, I'd like to recognize KC9VEX. That's Ian in Greenville. Good to have you as night, Ian. I think you were the one that did the check-in before. It came in loud and clear that time, so appreciate you being with us this evening. Appreciate you hanging in there. KM4VWA, that is Steve over in Inman. Good to have you as night, Steve. Hope you're doing well. Appreciate you taking the time to check in this evening. Do we have any other stations in the uniform through Zulu? Well, here's another Echolink station. Echolink station is only for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call W4DJW.
Yeah, Dave.
I appreciate you letting me know. I'm not sure what's going on there. We have another Echolink station. Echolink stations only for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call W4DJW.
W4DJW, please check in Kilo Oscar 4 Hotel Kilo X-ray. KO4HKX. That's Patrick. I'm over here in Pigeon Forge tonight. Dave, thank you for calling it. I will be in and out.
Okay, Net Control, I'd like to recognize our Sunday night Net Control operator. That's KO4HKX. Good to have you with us tonight, Patrick. Hope you're enjoying the start to your weekend away from home. Be careful while you're out there. And looking forward to hearing you call the net on Sunday. Do we have any other stations in the uniform through Zulu Group that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call W4DJW. Okay, that'll bring us to the top of the alphabet. Stations with the first letter in their suffix that begins with an A through a D would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call W4DJW.
W4DJW. Dave, please check in. Kilo Kilo 4, Delta Mike Whiskey, Rick, and my wife, Kilo Kilo 4, Oscar, November Oscar, Lorena, and my daughter, Kilo Mike 4, Mike Oscar Quebec, Michelle. We're all in Piedmont, and we'll all be negative and negative.
DJW. Everybody on the net, please check in. Kilo Bravo 2, Bravo Yankee, Quebec, KB2BYQ. Dave and Easley, I'll be negative and negative tonight. 73s to everybody on the net.
Dave, Miss Amy in the net, please check in. KI4DOS, Gary. Also K3JOY, that's my pretty little bride, Joy. We're at home in Easley, no traffic, no queue tonight, but I do have an announcement at your convenience.
Okay, I'll be back to you in just a minute for that announcement, Gary. Net Control, I'd like to recognize KK4DMW, that's Rick. Bring with him KK4ONO, that's Miss Lorena, and KM4MOQ, that's Miss Michelle. They're all over in Piedmont. Good to have you with us tonight, Rick. Tell Lorena and Michelle we said hello, and we do appreciate you being with us this evening. KB2BYQ, that's Dave and Easley. Sounding good, Dave. Glad to have you back as a regular. We missed you while you were gone. KI4DOS, that's Gary, our Wednesday night and all things SwapNet Net Controller. Good to have you with tonight, Gary. We'll bring it with him. K3JOY, that's Miss Joy. Tell Miss Joy we said hello, Gary, and go ahead with your announcement.
Have you in the net. Go ahead and put a number one on this one for a piece of traffic. Saturday, tomorrow, is testing day for VE testing over at the Red Cross building. We'll be over there at 9 o'clock in the morning. If you would like to upgrade or take a test for the first time, you need your picture ID, your FRN number. If you are coming for a new license, you need to get an FRN number off the computer. And if those that already have their license, if they're upgrading, you've already got an FRN number, but be sure to bring it. They're using the FRN numbers now. And the fee is still $10. We'll start at 9 o'clock at the Red Cross building at 940 Grove Road. Hope to see some folks there. I know the VEs, we're going to put some of the VEs are going to be there, and all of them won't be, but they'll be enough to give the exams. But that's it, Dave. Thanks.
Okay, Gary, we do appreciate you bringing that announcement. Does anyone need any fills on Gary's announcement? Okay, Gary, well, let the team know that we do much appreciate their service that they provide for the amateur radios and the amateur radio operators in upstate South Carolina. That's a very valuable service. We like to get new amateur radios operators in there and get their call sign and get their license and get them on there. So we do appreciate that. We do have an Echolink station. Echolink station's only for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call W4DJW.
W4DJW. Good evening, Dave. Check in. KA4PQA. Kilo Alpha 4, Papa Quebec Alpha, Stephen in Greenwood. Good evening to yourself, all on the net. No traffic and no wreck to you this evening.
Okay, Net Control, I'd like to recognize KA4PQA. That's Stephen sounding good over Echo Link from Greenwood, South Carolina. Good to have you with us tonight, Stephen. Hope you're having a wonderful start to your weekend. Let's go one last try. Alpha through Delta, stations with the first letter in their suffix that begin with an A through a D. We'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call W4DJW.
W4DJW, this is Kilo, November 4, Hotel Tango Yankee, Gary. I'm on a handheld mobile. I am at Cliffset Mountain Park on Route 11. No traffic, negative and negative, 7-3.
Okay, Net Control, like to recognize KN4THY, that's Gary. And Gary, just from Traveler's Rest, good to have you with us this evening. Just you're this first time you checked in with me, so I'm not sure if you know, but we are here every single night at 9 p.m., so we would appreciate you stopping by as often as you get the chance to do. If you're just passing through, we appreciate you being here. And we're here 365 days a year, so appreciate you being there, Gary, and hope you're having a wonderful start to your weekend. Do we have any? Let's go ahead now and bump it on up to the Echo Through Hotel group. Stations with the first letter in their suffix that begins with an Echo Through Hotel, E through H. We'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call W4DJW.
W4DJW. Please check in. Kilo Charlie 4, Echo Zulu November, KC4EZ and Harry and Kevin. I'll be negative tonight. It's good to hear you.
Well, Harry, you might have this one to yourself. Net Control, I'd like to recognize KC4EZN. That's Harry over in Candler, North Carolina. You're sounding good as usual, Harry. Hope your weekend goes well for you this weekend. Appreciate you taking time to check in. Any other stations? Echo Through Hotel. All right, Harry has that one to himself. We'll go ahead and bump it up to the India Through Lima group. Stations with the first letter in their suffix that begins with an I through an L. And we'll like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call W4DJW.
DJW. DJW. Kilo 4, Juliet, Foxtrot, Oscar. And I am James, and up on this mountain in Tuxedo, North Carolina. And it's where I'll be negative and negative. It's at 73s for each one of you.
4DJW. Thank you for being there for us tonight. Please check in. Kilo, Kilo 4. Juliet, Bravo, Quebec. This is Larry. Also, my wife Donna. Kilo, Charlie 4. Mike, Foxtrot, Kilo. We make our home in Greer. Donna will be in and out, but I'll be here for a little bit. I hope everyone has a good night. 7-3.
Okay, Net Control, I'd like to recognize KK4JFO. That's James, sounding good out of Tuxedo, North Carolina this evening. Good to have you with us tonight, James. We do appreciate you stopping by. And KK4JBQ, that's Larry. Bring with him KC4MFK. That's Miss Donna. They make their home in Greer. Good to have you with us tonight, Larry. Tell Donna we said hello, and you are the first one up on the stump for Rag Chew this evening. Do we have any other stations in the India Through Lima group that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call W4DJW. Okay, that brings us to the Mike Through Papa group. Stations with the first letter in their suffix that begins with an M through a P. When I check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
JW. The net, please check in. Kilo 4, November Uniform Echo, KO4NUE, Tuxedo, North Carolina tonight, Dave. Thank you for calling the net, sir.
This is Whiskey 4, Norway, Texas, Quebec, Eddie, Zipsville, of the A Revenant in the roll call.
4DJW, please check in Kilo, Oscar 4, Papa, X-ray, Bravo, Lloyd in Simpsonville. I'll be negative and negative.
Okay, Net Control, I'd like to recognize KO4NUE. That's Chad. He's over in Tuxedo, North Carolina. Good to have you with us tonight, Chad. You're sounding good. Do appreciate you taking the time to check in this evening. Hope Anna's doing okay. W4NTQ, that's Eddie. He's in Simpsonville. Good to have you with us tonight, Eddie, and appreciate you hanging around till the end of the roll call. KO4PXB, that is Lloyd in Simpsonville. Good to hear you tonight, Lloyd. Hope you're having a wonderful start to your weekend. We do appreciate you taking the time to check in. Do we have any other stations in the Mike Through Papa group that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call W4DJW. Okay, that brings us to the patient group for a Friday night, which is the Quebec Through Tango group. Stations with the first letter in their suffix that begins with a Q through a T. And we'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call W4DJW.
DJW. Please check in N0TR, November 0, Tango Romeo. My name's Tom. I'm located in Greer. Good evening to you and all on the net. I'll be in negative, sir.
4DJW. Hey, please check in Kilo Oscar 4, Quebec, Lima, Golf, KO4QLD. This is Chris in Liberty. And I'll be negative and negative. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Chris.
Okay, negative, I'd like to recognize N0TR. That is Tom, who is not down on the lower part of 40, hammering out CW this evening. Good to have you with us tonight, Tom. Tell Ms. Bernice we said hello and appreciate you taking the time to check in. And KO4QLG, that's Chris, sounding good from Liberty this evening. Appreciate you being with us tonight, Chris. You're sounding good as usual. Hope you're having a wonderful start to your weekend. Any other stations, Quebec through Tango, that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW. All right, let's go ahead and open it up all the way through the alphabet, A through Z, Z through A. If you've got a letter in your call at all and you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
For DJW. In the net. Please check in November 4 Zulu Lima Kilo and 4ZLK. Shane, and I'm mobile in Greenville. No traffic, no table. Thanks for calling the net, Dave.
Okay, Net Control, I'd like to recognize N4ZLK. That's Shane, who is mobile in Greenville. Good to have you with tonight, Shane. Be careful out there on the mobile. Do appreciate you taking the time to check in with us this evening. One last call all the way through the alphabet. If you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW. This is W4DJW now securing the former portion of the net with our thanks for checking in. All stations wishing to secure may do so. And we'll now begin the RAG2 portion of the net with periodic stops for check-ins between RAG2s. And the first one up on the stump this evening is KK4JBQ. That's Larry in Greer called W4DJW in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net.
For DJW, this is KK4JBQ. Well, Dave, and the rest of the net, I guess... Well, I'm sure. I'm not the only one that was rained in today. In baseball, they call it raining out. I was rained in. So that put me square in the... that gave me an opportunity to delve a little deeper into what it's going to take to digitize a record collection. I don't know. How many people are there out there that have record collections still? And maybe you don't, as I didn't when I started this, have what it takes to play them anymore. So I found myself looking for a decent turntable and the necessary cabling to connect it to an amplifier that also has a preamp in it for the turntable. And the necessary cabling to go to a computer and the interface that's necessary. Computers don't come with what's necessary to go from analog to digital in this respect anyway. So got all that set up and now I'm reading on the process. And I spent a lot of time in front of the computer today looking at, oh, goodness. Well, that hobby, if you want to call it that, being a vinyl aficionado or whatever it is, it's full of folks who are perfectionists, absolutely perfectionists. Just one item that... just by itself is a world of information and controversy. And I have nothing right now to clean the records before I play them. I understand from years ago that you play a dirty record and you're just grinding that into the vinyl, whatever microscopic little whatever's in there. And I looked at cleaners, everything from manual cleaning with a little bit of cleaning fluid and a brush, a special kind of brush, of course, but all the way up to ultrasonic cleaning, which I'm familiar with because, you know, I was a jeweler in another life, and we ultrasonically cleaned everything. Now, and the transformation was glorious, just glorious. Anybody out there, here's a tip for you. Anybody out there who would like to just really please your wife with something you've done for her right out of the blue, get yourself one of those little tank ultrasonic cleaners and carefully check and see that there's no loose stones in there. You can just take a toothpick, I don't know, and just something to prod it with and see that it's not loose in its mounting, because that'll just get worse with ultrasonic cleaning. But anyhow, submerge that. Don't let it touch the bottom of the tank. That sort of dampens everything, of course. Suspend it in the ultrasonic cleaner, and when it comes out, I used to use a hair dryer to, after it was rinsed, of course, to get it nice and dry, and the stones sparkle, and she will be so pleased. Short of that, you can take her to a jewelry store if you dare. I've done this. ask the jeweler. It's a free service everywhere I know of to clean your jewelry, what you can walk in with, anyway, on your finger. And anyway, I guarantee results. Very happy, happy wives. And, of course, all we know, all of us husbands know that a happy wife is a happy life. KK4, back to you, Dave.
Well, Larry, when you talk about the radios, I mean, not the radios, the LPs or the records, I never graduated from 45s to LPs. I think my collection of 45s stayed at my parents' house when I moved out when I was 19 years old, and I don't think I ever saw them again after that. And they had songs, really, really old songs, like, I don't know if you remember North to Alaska or Running Bear. I don't know if you remember those songs that were really, really old. That's all I ever had for records. I think by the time I was 19, the 8-track tape was coming out, or had been out for a few years. I was born in 57, so if you do the math on when I was 19, I think 8-tracks were there at that point in time. So never did graduate to the LPs, but my dad had a bunch of LPs. I don't know what he ever did with them. I never found them in the stuff that we put in storage after they passed away. Never found them. So one of the cousins or my sister or somebody probably picked those up. I don't know who it was. But the jewelry stuff, the jewelry cleaning, my wife's, I bought her engagement ring almost 30 years ago. I think it was 94 when I bought it. It was 30, and this is 24, so that was, 30 years ago. And we both like it a lot. It's kind of it wasn't like a unique, it was the only one they ever made, but they made very few of them. And they were made by Hillsburg. And I had to take it back about 15 years ago to have the prongs rebuilt, because like you said, they get loose. And when they rebuilt the prongs, they did that cleaning that you were talking about. And they had, I did it again about a month ago, or maybe a month and a half ago. And they did the ultrasonic cleaning like you were talking about. And then they've got this thing in Hillsburg that you can clip the ring in some alligator clips, and you put it over this lens that's coming up out of the bottom of the table, and it comes up on a big screen TV, and the diamond is about 3 feet in diameter, and it's about 3 feet tall. And you can move it around on those alligator clips, and you can just see, you know, I could verify that was the diamond that I purchased her, because I stared at it for a long, long time, making sure there was no inclusion. I was really picky about her diamond. So I was making sure there was no cloudy skies in it. There was no carbon pit pizzas in it. There were no air gaps or anything like that in it. So I did a really fine inspection, but man, that the colors that come off of that thing with that tool that they've got, and the light that they use and the magnification that they use is just, it is incredible. While I was looking at it, several of the store employees came over there and they just started staring at it, and they said, you know, they don't make them like that anymore. the newer diamonds. They're and I said, yeah, I know. So as you can tell, I was very proud of that diamond there.
KK4JBQ. Yeah, I kind of miss it in a way. But I gave it everything I had. I was studying for my GIA certification. We had a gem lab there in the last place I worked. And the gemologist who was on staff, he wanted a little relief. He ran every appraisal that we took in. Now, I was in the repair department. Just something to call it. We did everything. We made new jewelry. We refurbished everything. But I was kind of hoping that maybe I could finish that course and take the test and help him in the laboratory. That was a goal that I never reached because of other things that came up. But I saw, 40,000 diamonds in my 6 years at that particular location. And then, of course, there were other. I worked for four jewelers altogether. The others are almost as interesting. The beauty may not be there, but to see a diamond that's just about ready to explode with inclusions and stress inside the stone, yeah, that gives your heart a little pumping too, you know. Gives you a little thrill. And then one, just one. I had just brought a prong that had been bent up. It was caught in some sort of fabric, as I was told. And I was just to push the prong down on the stone again. And that's exactly what I did. The moment I touched that stone, it exploded. And it was in no one else's experience to have a diamond explode. It was a loud pop, not like a firecracker or anything, but it was just a very quick pop, and around me was diamond dust. I say it because you'll never hear that again. It's very rare for that to happen. Well, from that point forward, knowing what is possible, I checked every stone, every one, very closely, at least 10 power magnification, for inclusions and other troubles that might occur, rather than go into every little detail. There are hints within the stone as to what it might do if given pressure in the wrong spot. It's that critical. Never ever another one came in that acted like that. But I got off track. This is what I do sometimes. The record cleaning. The most sophisticated record cleaning I have read about. I've not even seen one of these machines. But it's an ultrasonic tank, so you have the ultrasonic waves going through a cleaning solution within the tank, and the record is suspended above the water level, of course, right up to the label on the record, and a little motor turns it, okay? There's, in the cleaning fluid, there's a surfactant, it's called. That's a technical term for slick water, best I can put it. It releases water of its property of surface tension. The surface tension would cause beating during the drying process. So a surfactant will make water very slick, and it just runs right off in a sheet. It's cool, really cool. But the motorized ultrasonic record cleaning machine, I don't know how much these things are, but it seems that really serious audiophiles are all about that thing, all about it. And they have arguments. You think we hams have discussions about radios and features and performance and all of that? Well, yeah, sure. But even something like cleaning, you know, a special item like a phonograph record, it gets complicated pretty quick. I don't know. So I did a lot of research, as we used to say, going to the library. This was back when I was repairing photographic equipment. This is all I've done in my lifetime, repair things. I went from cars to, you know, other things. I always had my hands on tools. It was my gift. Still is my gift if I wanted to do it for myself. So, anyhow, I went to the library today. That would be Mr. Google, KK4JBQ.
Well, that's interesting. I find myself in the library multiple times every day, if that's the new library. Yeah, Google is your friend. There's a lot of things that I had to look up a word that I didn't understand. Heard it for the first time today on one of those judges that threw out a new word. I think everybody probably went and looked it up. But that was pretty cool to figure out. And now I can't remember the word. Isn't that how it goes? I've never heard of a cleaning tank like that. And a couple of my friends that do audio, big-time audio guys, the guy I'm working with, the electrical engineer that's up in Minnesota, he tells me about things about the same thing you're talking about, how the audiophiles can hear something that nobody else can hear. That is even hard for test equipment to measure it, but it's there, and they can hear it. He's saying his boss is going to send him to Indianapolis to one of the guy's houses that bought one of his systems, and it's got a really strange hum on it, and they think it might be coming from something else that's in the house, some DC input in it. So he's got to go track that down. Those guys have really, really sensitive ears. But that does sound interesting about the water, the slick water. I didn't know that. I was thinking to myself, if that thing's rotating, there's a motor rotating, what's going to keep the water from sticking to it when it goes up at the 12 o'clock position, and what's going to keep the water from running down across the label? But I guess if it's really slick water, it just runs right back in the tank before it gets up to the 12 o'clock position. Am I thinking that the right way, Larry? KK4JBQ, W4DJW, and the Blue Ridge 2-meter net.
Thinking exactly right, and there was one video I watched to show what the problems that can arise with water's natural surface tension property. If you so they had the same machine with the same of course this has to be distilled water. Everything is held stringently any time, and of course you know this, but just in case no one has ever heard testing in this way, you hold all variables as best you can to one, how should I say it? So as not to degrade your observation. You don't want to change two or three things at once. You change only one thing. And so you start with a clean tank. You use distilled water. And you put it in there. And if this thing is capable of speed, you use the same speed to turn the record. It's quite slow, actually. Use the same setting on the ultrasonics if that's adjustable. If the tank is a heated tank, you have to be careful with vinyl. On jewelry, it doesn't matter. You can heat metal and diamonds or most other jewelry items, gemstones and whatever. Not pearls, not emeralds. You don't put that in the ultrasonic at all, for that matter. But you hold all factors in the same way for a test. Okay, so now we turn the record. It's on the thing spinning, and with no surfactant in there, it does exactly what you said. it ran down in trails. As you saw the record come out of the water, it ran down in trails all over the label, made a mess. And then just one drop in what must have been a half a gallon of water to put the record in there. One drop. And it sheened off in a beautiful way. It's kind of fascinating, actually. I can understand. You know, I've been accused of being a perfectionist in many regards, actually. But that's been for what I chose to do with my work life. It was good to be a perfectionist because I was always confident that my customer would be pleased. I could get it as close to perfect timekeeping or appearance. It was a repair of something. It looked the same as the rest of the ring. And it's the way I did the repair, the way I polished it, and all that. So if you strive for perfection, you may never reach it, but you're going to satisfy most people. KK4JBQ.
Well, let me check for any second shifters, and then we'll pick it back up, Larry. This is W4DJW in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Do we have any check-ins all the way through the alphabet? Would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call W4DJW.
W4DJW, please check in Kilo, Quebec 4, Oscar Alpha Sierra, Robert Piedmont. I'll be negative and negative.
DJW. In Kilo X-ray 4, Mike Tango. KX4MT, this is Mike. And my son, Michael, Kilo Quebec 4, Oscar Juliet X-ray, KQ4, OJX. We're both in Pickens, and we'll be in and out. And thank you for calling in at 73 to you.
Okay, second shift has arrived. Net control, like to recognize KQ4OAS. Sorry about that, Robert. Let me start over with that. KQ4OAS. That's Robert and Piedmont. Good to have you with us tonight, Robert. We do appreciate you taking the time to check in this evening. And KX4MT, that's Mike, bringing with him KQ4OJX. That's Michael there in Pickens. Good to have you with us tonight, Mike. Till Michael, we said hello. And KO4YHY, that's Jim and Bria. And Jim, your audio is really, really, really low down there again. So it sounds like you're talking into the back of the mic and it's at arm's length. Just letting you know. Any other stations all the way through the alphabet that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
Control, net control, please check in KD4SRR, QS4, Sierra Romeo Romeo, Robert on the road.
Okay, net control, like to recognize KD4SRR, that is Robert on the road. Good to have you with us tonight, Robert. Hope you're doing well. Do appreciate you taking the time to check in this evening. Any other stations all the way through the alphabet? Okay, Larry, when you were talking about the controlling everything in your test environment, it reminded me of when I worked at the lab at Michelin. I worked at the physical lab and the chemical lab before I went into the machine shop. And in the chemical lab, it was very important to work in an controlled environment, is what they called that. You had to have a controlled environment. Even the cleaner that you used to clean the stuff could contaminate the test, right? So you had to, there was a consigne, is what they called it, and you had to follow the consigne, and you had to clean the beakers with what you were told to clean them with, right? You couldn't clean them with Clorox or Pine Sol or any of that stuff. You had to have a special either naphtha or acetone or something like that, and you had to set the tests up to be able to detect whether there was bromine in the white wall or because it would cause separation later on in the tire. So you had to do stuff like that, or butyl in the sidewall or in the tread, because butyl is really good for being non-permeable, but it will cause separation in a heartbeat. So that's what I was reminding me when you were talking about the controlled environment when you do a test like that. Subsequently, later in life, I tried to explain to them at Bank of America when we were trying to reproduce test conditions out in production in the lab. And I was telling them, we have to have a controlled environment. And they were like, what is a controlled environment? It's kind of strange how phrases like that from one phase of your life can be used in another phase of your life. And it is just totally unheard of. But it does make sense. After you explain it to them, it makes sense that you have to have a controlled environment. Because if you don't, if it's uncontrolled, then your test is invalid. And it spoils everything. Back to you, Larry. KK4JVQ, W4DJW in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net.
ABQ and the net. I do think you've led an interesting life, Dave. I enjoy hearing little bits and pieces there. And we are about, I guess, maybe 3 years apart in age. And so I assume that you have retired already and you're doing something else to please just you, and that's a good thing. Yeah, so I don't know. I do think that I'm not finished preparing to start cataloging digitizing my record collection. I don't suppose I'll be adding anything to that. What I have discovered is that vinyl records are terribly expensive these days. What I have must be worth quite a bit. I have a good many unplayed albums. I carry them from too many years ago to actually figure out. Boxed up and there was a time that I bought them when I wanted them and still had no time. And I promised myself, when I get time, I'm going to open one of those records and I'm going to play it and I'm going to enjoy it. Didn't have any idea I would have to wait so long. there's another point that goes directly to what I just said. You're supposed to clean a record before you play it, even if you just open the record. Oh, and also that what they ship them in, the paper sleeve that goes inside the album cover, well, that's not adequate for long-term storage for valuable things. I mean, some of these records go for thousands of dollars. Not the ones I have, I'm sure, but collectors, I'm saying. But anyway, using special polyvinyl, because that's closer to the actual composition of the record itself, polyvinyl sleeves for the record and covers for the outer album. That is so that the artwork isn't scuffed as you move it in and out of your storage, whatever that might be. And it's fiddly, I know, but if I weren't some fan of fiddly, I wouldn't have been a jeweler or a watchmaker, for that matter. KK4JBQ.
W4DJW in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Well, that I never really got that deep into LPs, the big ones, and I think that's the ones that you're talking about, not the 45s. I was a teenager when I did the records. And you know how teenagers are. They're very reckless with records. Scratches across the surface of them. It's like when later on in life when the CDs came out, and I would keep CDs fairly clean because I was older than that. And then I'd see my granddaughter with her CDs in her car, and it'd be like her keys scraped across the surface of the CD. I had a friend at Michelin that when we would get a software release on a CD, we would be very careful to handle it with kit gloves. I mean, because they paid thousands of dollars for the CDs, not for the CD itself, but for what was on it, the software that was on it. It had CAD-CAM software, and there were development environments. So they were extremely expensive. So we would handle them you know, with kit gloves. And I had a buddy who was a programmer, and he said, you don't have to treat them like that. He said, watch this. And he picked one of them up. Now, this is probably, you know, $10,000 CD. And he put his big old thumbprint right across the underside of the CD. And he said, now go load that software. He said, it'll load just like it loaded before I put my thumbprint on there. And you know what? He was right. It didn't make any difference. And my granddaughter, when she scratched her CDs up with her keys, they still played. Not like maybe one of the audiophile people like you're talking about could probably detect it, but I don't think any of the rest of us could. Back to you, Larry. KK4JBQ, W4DJW in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net.
Interesting. I never really imagined it quite that far, but I am aware that a CD is encapsulated. The beam of... it's a laser that goes down onto the reflective surface that's encapsulated inside the CD itself. It goes down there, and then it's reflected back. And the little pits and valleys, in some sense, quite similar to to a record, a vinyl record, but different in so many other ways. But vinyl records are not encapsulated. And you lead me on to something else that I have discovered in the last few days, is that the device we use to play those records is terribly complicated. Lots of geometry in how the tone arm meets the record and its tracking force and its natural tendency to obey other laws of physics, like centrifugal force, the record spinning in a circle. And if you don't have, they call that, when the needle, you put it down without some adjustments, it'll just scoot right across the record. that's called skating, and there's an anti-skating on a good turntable. Anti-skating, which you adjust just so that when it goes down, it's going to sit in that groove. The 2 grams of force that is what most tone arms are set for, but that's another adjustment that you make. Oh, heavens. The complications just keep going. And I guess that's why human beings have some appreciation or affinity for the things that we fiddle with. More complicated, for some people, the more complicated, the more enticing it might be. And if something doesn't work just like you hope it will, well, of course it's because you didn't do something right. Well, anyway, that's that was a huge world of fascination, and I've been in several one of them. I've worked on watches that might go for $25,000. I worked on a watch that was in a $20 gold piece that was mint when it was manufactured. It was recently pressed, or it was like new condition. I guess some gold pieces go back, you know, quite a ways. But this one was sparkling. They cut that thing in half and then hollowed out the necessary area inside in order for the gearing to go. And all the gearing was made of gold. You can temper gold, of course, and reformulate it to hold up better than... But coins were made to... for wearability also. Maybe they just used the plain gold, but then reshaped it into gears and cogs and things that are inside the watch. They still use synthetic jewels, and the arbors that went through the gearing, those were made of metal. But had to make a part for that watch. Had to use coin gold to do it. That was fascinating. Just fascinating. Anyhow, I could go on and on, but I probably shouldn't. Dave, it was great to talk with you. It always is. And, you know, someday soon we should just, I'll just say, hello, Dave. Tell me about your day. Well, it's almost 10 o'clock. If you feel like it, tell me about your day. KK4JBQ.
Well, Larry, I am retired. I retired September the 15th of 2022, the end of a bad year. I was glad when 2022 was over. It wasn't a good year. But that was when I retired. I've been retired since then. And I'm enjoying it and stay just as busy being retired as I did before. And that's the way to do it. I don't like not having it. I've never liked not having something to do. And today I put out fertilizer, grass food, and grass seed. 5 really big bags, enough to fill the hopper to the brim, and walked across the yard probably 15 times, the whole front and backyard and side yard and everything. So that wore me out pretty good. And then I got on a call. They're trying to tie a bow on the preamp that I wrote the code for the microcontroller that controls the preamp that changes the treble and the bass and the mono and the matrix, and it does, you know, volume and balance and all of that kind of stuff. So the engineer that designed the system is working with me to code the microcontroller, and we're getting really close to finishing up, and they find one more thing they need to tweak. So I'll jump on a Zoom meeting with them real quick, and we'll knock that one piece out, and he'll say, okay, that all worked good. The next day he said, but there's one more little thing. You know how that goes. And anyway, I asked him today, I said, when are we going to tie a bow on this one? He said, we should be done already. We're running late, but we just want to make sure it's perfect before they send out. They're going to have like 5 prototypes built and send it out the door, have people, beta testers test it, and then I might get some more work when they come back with, I would prefer to do this instead of that. You know how that goes. But that, and I was flying airplanes before I got that gig. And that was a lot of fun, but weather got bad, so it got too cold to do that. And this thing came up, so that's the kind of thing I'm doing now, is just if opportunity comes up to do something like I used to do, and I can do that, I do it. And then there's always, you know how it is with the house, there's always honeydews. There's always a list of honeydews. It doesn't matter how hard you work on that, those aren't going away. And then one other thing that I like to do is trade stocks. I watch it more than I trade. But I do trade. Every now and then I say, okay, these guys aren't doing nothing. They aren't doing anything. So I fire them all and hire a whole bunch of new ones and then see how they do. Whereas the half that's doing good, I let them run. And that's a lot of fun. That's rewarding. I enjoy trading stocks. So that's basically what my day was today. It started out trading stocks and went into walking all across the yard, spreading grass seed and grass food, and ended the day with writing a little bit more code for a preamplifier. And that was about, by that time, Amy was getting home, and it was time to eat supper and watch the news. So that's about my day, Larry. KK4JBQ, W4DJW, and the Blue Ridge 2-meter net.
Wow. Once the top came off of that, it was... I had no idea. I can't put that much into one day. I guess I'm taking things slower. But you're taking on challenges that many of us never had the first time. Good for you. This is, as you said, what retirement should be. You're still performing. You're still doing things you're capable of, and you want to still do things of value and feel the sense of, well, pride. The word pride has a good meaning and a bad meaning. This is a good meaning. Taking pride in what you do, how you do it, and the results of all of your efforts. I don't think it's bad to be prideful of that. Gracious. Yeah, so that's been quite a day. It's, I wonder, we had a good deal of rain here You say you got, and we both live in Greer. Did you not get a flooding rain, a soaking rain, right after you put your seat out?